Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 713. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Hey, well, Kevin, how about yourself?
Oh, just coming off of the nice long weekend there, provided by Thanksgiving. So I am giving thanks for actually having five consecutive days off. That was kind of nice since I didn't get a real vacation this year. But during that vacation, I still watched some wrestling, and the part after the vacation really is what struck me. I've got to admit, the WWE, as I said on Twitter, really leaning towards their own inner heel in two separate promos on Raw this week. They mention the firings in pretty much the same context in two separate promos. What was your initial reaction to? Because Liv Morgan was the first one to bring it up. Correct? Did she have the?
Yeah. Liv Morgan was the first one to bring it up. Now I'm going to disagree with you. They did not lean into their own heeldom. They played well. They became the sports team owners who try to make out their star players to be
the
greedy
bad guy
and overpaid. Because it's Becky Lynch's fault. Ruby Riott is no longer in WWE. It's Miz's fault that John Morrison is no longer in WWE.
That is a fair distinction to make, because they really did put the onus on other talents still in the company.
Yeah, I don't know. Things like this don't really get to me. I made my deal with the devil a long time ago. I know what this business is. I know who these people are. But it is interesting that they opened themselves up to it on their show, just the same.
That was the one, I guess, I was a little bit surprised. That the first time you used it, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then when Edge uses it the second time, I was like, oh, that's something. And you've got to admit, I would say that there's probably a little more truth to what Edge had to say than what Liv Morgan had to say.
Yeah, to some degree.
I don't think Ruby, like, it's kind of weird. Ruby Riott / Ruby Soho. I think she has a great individual look, but I'm not sure that it's a WWE look necessarily.
Like, no, she was never a great fit. But they made the Riott Squad work to a degree, but that degree was losing a lot more than they won. Yeah, filler on the cards, really. TV filler, most of all.
Yeah, she got... I feel like they kind of pushed them fairly well, and then I don't remember if it was Ruby who got injured.
Oh, yeah, Ruby got the double knee surgery, yes.
Yeah, and that just really kind of wrecked everything for... Like, to me, that was the dividing line of them moving to the mediocre... card filler situation that you're talking about. She kind of had a comeback, and I feel like she might have had one of her championship matches in that time frame, but it obviously was for naught. And they did give her a little bit more of a chance, but it was also one that I guess I wasn't completely surprised by. Honestly, like when they let her go. And what? Well, Sarah Logan got let go a long time ago. In relative terms, correct?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was one of the first. She was that for that round of releases in 2020. Yes.
Yeah. Like that was so long ago in the level of cuts that the WWE has done that it almost feels like it was even further back than that. Oh, probably because there have been so many. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I wasn't offended either. Like, it's one of those things that yeah, I mean, it kind of is what it is, I guess, at this point. You know, like, the WWE loves using real-life situations. And if they think it'll get a rise out of the crowd, it's always an option. And I actually shouldn't even say WWE. Isn't that
I was about to say myself. Yeah. What opened AEW this week? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been the calling card since about the late 90s. That they love going there with these shoot comments, yeah, and working them into the storylines. But at least now more people are online, so more people actually get them, as opposed to you had when you would have people drop insider stuff. Oh. In the middle of a Raw or Nitro in the late 90s, and then you just hear crickets. The audience doesn't know what the hell anybody's talking about.
Yeah. When it was a handful of people that knew this, now, would you say a majority of their fans?
Probably. I still don't know. To some degree, I keep saying to some degree, but something. They don't have to be, you know, waist deep in wrestling Twitter nonsense, but You've got people writing in Forbes, you've got people writing in Sports Illustrated about wrestling from an insider point of view. Now, a lot of that is, you know, maybe they don't exactly have the best sources, or they're biased, you know, they're an obvious bias for WWE, or there's an obvious AEW bias, but I think I'd venture to say these most fans have some kind of insider knowledge.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, even if it's a passing knowledge, at this point, I would think that most fans have a phone, and if you even remotely talk and or look at wrestling stuff on your phone, you're probably going to be getting alerts about news stories, unless you've turned off that nonsense. So yeah, you've got to have some level of knowledge about insider stuff, I would think. How deep, yeah, is always a little questionable, but or the grasp on the actual realities thereof is something else. So, yeah, I wasn't really put off by it myself. Like, it was just like, yep, this is what wrestling does. You know, they bring those storylines to wrestling, and it's just a wrestling thing, and it's kind of to be expected. You know, the one thought that it did put in my head, I'm like, I guess I kind of wondered if, I was like, if they're mentioning this on TV, are they finally done?
It's possible they're finally done, yeah. Now I'll bring it up on TV. Yeah, it might be the point part where they feel they need to stop, yeah.
Yeah, because as much as, I mean, we had brought up over the years how they were, they had too many people at times, and that some of them weren't getting on TV. At some juncture, when you cut, I don't know, I didn't see a total after the recent number. Did they get to the 80s yet?
They're cool. I think they're close if they haven't passed it, yes.
So,
and that's just this year, not counting last year's releases.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that is multiple wrestling organizations that they let go, and they're still filling all of their content without with still missing people.
Yeah.
Or not, maybe I shouldn't say missing people, not using people. So yeah, it's pretty wild, not surprising, but yeah, at some point it had to stop, you know, like it's kind of like anyone else. Like, you want to have some depth within your company, because, you know, much like any other sports organization, there are going to be injuries, and you're going to need people to fill in some of those spots at some juncture.
Yeah.
So you've got to have someone there. So yeah, it was something that, you know, it was a thought that went through my head. I'm not sure if they're, you know, obviously we don't have any insight. The WWE mole is has not been with us for quite some time at this juncture.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Howard's dead.
So yeah, I guess I did, like I said, I kind of feel like maybe this is finally the point where they stop that the axing stuff. But we'll see. You know, maybe they're waiting till after Christmas so that they don't look even more exceptionally grinchy than they have already. So I guess, what did you think of Liv Morgan, the Liv Morgan and Becky interaction itself?
I'm thinking if Liv Morgan doesn't win this title, she's done. Because they really are pounding this hard that she can't win a big match. She's never even been in a big match before. She doesn't belong here in with Becky Lynch. That this is going to be interesting. Now, them having a match next week, I could see that match having a non-finish so they could get to so they can build a day one. But yeah, I was not thinking of Liv Morgan as champion. But man are they screwing her if she doesn't do it.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you. Like, that was one where I'm like, like you said, they're really loading up that she hasn't done it, she hasn't broken through, this, that, and the other thing. And yeah, I guess I agree with them, because they have never presented her like a champion. And I'm not sure, they never did, the Riot Squad never did win the tag team titles in any incarnation, did they?
No, they did not.
So yeah, she's not even won a tag title to hang her hat on at this juncture. And it's been kind of wild. Like, she does seem like one of the more popular wrestlers on Twitter, for sure. And I do feel like she gets a lot of vocal support. But the WWE support has been a little suspect up to this point.
Yeah, it has, and that's another one of those weird cases of someone you think is everything they want, but then they don't go with her.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest mystery to me, is that it seems like she has everything. She has a great look. I feel like she's acquitted herself well in the ring when she's had the chance as a singles wrestler here within the last 6 to 8 months or so. And I think she's done well enough with the promos. I'm not sure that she's the greatest, but she does a good job at a minimum So yeah, like I'm not quite sure what's missing from this package that hasn't quite made her hit for management at this point.
It's pretty damn baffling to me. And at times, it's almost like they're trolling her. Like
Oh.
they're dangling the carrot in front of her, and then they pull it away. And they actually seem to enjoy doing it.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of weird because she has got a couple of those push short spurt pushes, and then she's kind of not to be seen again.
Right.
'Cause was it last year was she campaigning to get on the Survivor Series team? Is that when her kind of first singles push went? Am I thinking correctly? Or was that this year that she was pushing to be on the Survivor Series team? No, it wasn't.
I have no memory. I don't remember. I know. I think there was a. Well, there were big pushes for her and Ruby to get the women's tag titles at WrestleMania this year. Then I think she was very vocal about wanting Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe even the Queen's Crown as well. And of course, she got eliminated in the first round there. So, yeah, no, it's at times it feels like there's actually a personal vendetta between her and the office. Or the office and her.
Yeah, it's a baffling one there. So I guess that maybe that leads us to the other promo mentioning firings. Edge comes back. He's gonna be wrestling The Miz. I see both sides of this one. I am not necessarily a fan of Edge and The Miz having matches, but I also see why the WWE would set this up. Where are you as far as this being a feud for Edge?
I'm fine with it. It's sort of for something to do. But once again, there are so many people. Edge has never wrestled before. That doing a 2009 Raw match doesn't exactly excite me that much. Because of course, that's how long Miz has been around. But you know what? Miz definitely. Whenever Maurice is back, it elevates the Miz. This is true. So, and he's got the Dancing with the Stars rub. He's looks as confident as ever. There's definitely things you can do as far as Miz and Edge at this point. They definitely had any back and forth that was maybe arguably the highlight of Raw.
Oh, yeah, I 'cause they had the problem, there's more ammo for Edge and The Miz to use than there is for Becky and Liv Morgan.
Oh, absolutely.
So it just kind of inherently makes it a better option. As long as it's executed at least at the same level or better. And it was. So yeah, it's yeah, a lot of reasons to do it, and it's been kind of funny. Like, I don't know why. Did Edge mention some of the younger guys in on the podcast prior to him coming back? Is that why we got it all stuck in our heads that he was going to be wrestling some of the people that? And I think that's where my problem stems with is that, like, I feel like I got it back in my head way back during Christian and Edge podcasting that he wanted to wrestle the young talent today. And every time they put in someone that, like you said, they've wrestled before, probably more than a decade ago, like, it really seems like a weird option to me.
Yeah, no, that you're not wrong. No, I'd love to see Edge. Well, I mean, we got Edge and Seth Rollins, and they essentially had the feud of the year. And then you know, obviously, an obvious name that they mentioned, AJ Styles and Edge could be excellent, and some other people who would be really good against Edge. But yeah. No, we're gonna get a Miz feud for a little bit here, and with Maurice back, if they wanted to insert Beth Phoenix and get a mixed tag out of it, that option is available.
Yeah, that's certainly something that Beth Phoenix has certainly shown an aptitude for climbing back in the ring periodically. So would not surprise me if she does so again.
And they never have teamed. So that might be like a bucket list thing for the two of them, for the both of them.
Oh, yeah. I guess I did not think about that, but it's also not surprising since.
Well, then, yeah,
they weren't really ever like they were together, I believe, at the end of his run, but
yeah,
they also didn't really acknowledge that on TV, at least to the best of my foggy memory.
No, they definitely did not. So no.
Yeah, so yeah, I wouldn't blame them if they wanted to do that. We know that the Miz and Maurice have, or at least I'm assuming that they've had a mixed tag match along the way, or several of them along the way.
Yeah, they've had several. I mean, Maurice has not wrestled full time in nearly a decade, but she's made her returns.
Oh my gosh. Has it really been that long that she hasn't wrestled in?
We've done this before the last time she stepped in the ring. I'm not even. We've done this before. I think it was when she was when her and Miz were doing a mixed tag with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. We've done this.
Oh. Well, that's what happens when you have the memory of a goldfish. Oh man!
No! Oh my goodness! No! It's been over 10 years. I was thinking she stuck around to about 2012 or 2013.
Yeah.
No. It's August of 2011 was her last match full time.
Yeah, that's it. I just looked at that too. So.
and she's had three matches since. Last one in 2018. Last one over 3 years ago.
Yeah. It hasn't been a lot, but she has gotten in there with the Mister. I'm trying to think of what else then, because I think that about wraps up that feud, right? Since it's an early stages kind of situation, or was there something else from the promos worth?
There was another, I don't know if it's necessarily insider because it was already brought to television, but another interesting remark made through that match, through the Edge and Miz, where an AEW segment directly led to a WWE segment when Edge told Miz, "You've got people on other shows keeping your putting their name in your name in their mouth. You live rent free in a lot of heads." Yeah, this is very true. CM Punk that WrestleMania in Atlanta. You were that one, right?
Yes.
Miz is the defending WWE champion against John Cena, with The Rock involved. CM Punk has always felt that should have been him, and he is still bitter about it to this very day.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that, which I guess does tie back to the third. It didn't mention the firings, but the beginning of Dynamite there, because that was Dynamite, right? Not Rampage.
Yes, beginning of Dynamite, yes.
with MJF. And CM Punk was where this one originated. So yeah, that was a pretty funny jab, and for Edge to be the one throwing it makes it really a little bit funnier. Because it was, I mean, I did kind of laugh about the Ed or the Miz mentioning Edge opening that pay-per-view. But if I'm not mistaken, was that Edge's last WrestleMania
Yes.
before he retired? And he beat Del Rio for the champion. Well, he didn't beat him. He retained the championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yes. That was his last match, I believe. Unless he did it. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm positive it was his last match televised. Let's see if there was like a dark match on a SmackDown taping in that era.
Oh. Yeah, it's something like that. If there was something after that WrestleMania. But
Yes,
yeah.
there was one dark. Yes, there was one tag dark match where he wrestled in a big tag. God only knows if he even tagged in, because
Oh.
I think at that point they may have known something was wrong.
Gotcha.
So yes.
Yeah, so I did think it was kind of interesting during that promo that they did tap dance around the fact that it was A, a championship match, and B, that Edge won it at that WrestleMania. Like, I'm like, aren't these pertinent facts that should be brought up during this discussion? And the opening match of WrestleMania is nothing to sneeze at. Unlike AEW, who does not tend to throw on their big matches early, the WWE does not mind throwing on a big match to start out a pay-per-view.
No. And that was the era where that really kicked into high gear. Yes, where they would actually put a big match on first.
Yeah, get the crowd rolling and go from there. So yeah. CM Punk being bitter about that is still pretty funny. But yeah, it's still crazy. The Miz's career arc is one of those things that falls under, if I saw that in a TV show, I'm not sure I would believe it.
Yeah, no. It is pretty crazy that Mike from the real world has come this far.
The fact that, what was it? He made it like the top four of Dancing with the Stars or something in that area.
Don't. Now you're gonna make me look that up.
I'm just making you do a lot of work tonight, asking questions. And it's all actually been interesting enough to look up. But anywho, the Miz did well than a lot of better than a lot of people do.
He was eliminated. Yeah, he was eliminated 7th of something like now they're making me do math. 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. A 14. So he, yeah,
Oh,
it was a little
halfway.
earlier. It was a little earlier. It was a little earlier than you think.
Okay, it was earlier, I think, but still, hey, if you don't completely embarrass yourself and get cut the first week or something, I think you're doing okay. And I guess it doesn't really surprise me. That's certainly been one of my personal pet peeve knocks on the Miz is that he is not one of the athletically gifted guys. Like him
No.
and Randy Orton, like Randy Orton's more gifted athletically, but he knows how to construct his matches so that he doesn't look like he's doing anything athletic. The Miz just has to construct his matches that way because those are his limitations.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'm not completely surprised. I feel like the people that win Dancing with the Stars are tend to be pretty athletic, even if I don't keep that. I've never have I watched. Yeah, I've watched it a few times. I'm gonna say that I watched it when Hines Ward was on there for the Pittsburgh Steelers a few times. And there might be a few other times where I've flipped that on, but that is not not a regular watch for yours truly. And I can't even say that I even watched The Miz this time around.
Well, the problem is the show goes up against Raw. I think there have been at least two other or three other wrestling WWE personalities who've done Dancing with the Stars in the past. And I do think that the show airing on Monday does hurt them with the voters
Oh.
who aren't watching.
Yeah, I
Their
would.
fan base who isn't watching.
Yeah, the fan base that's watching their regular product instead of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense.
I mean, they did try to do something of a push to get WWE fans to vote for The Miz, but you know what? I'm not going to be dishonest like that. I didn't actually watch, so how could I vote?
Yeah, I guess I don't care about the Miz enough to worry about whether he moves on or not. Oh man, but God bless that guy. Yeah, he has really done something for his career, and it's to be admired. The whole kit and caboodle. That guy has really hit the jackpot. I guess, is there anything to be said for the CM Punk and MJF promo that started off Dynamite? I mean, we didn't get to talk any AEW last week with the beat week being what it was. Is that worth talking? That promo worth talking about since we've gone promo heavy on today's show?
I think it is. No. What did you think about it, Kevin?
I enjoyed it. There was some good back and forth there. They let themselves kind of build up insults. Like I was very surprised. Like, because we must have watched that at my parents' house. Because I was shocked at how long that segment ran.
Yeah, AEW has not done a promo segment that long ever. That is easily the longest.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I did watch that here at the house, but yeah, I did catch it from Jump Street, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I couldn't. The commercial breaks after that to try and catch up for that 20-minute segment was pretty interesting. And yeah, I mean, it's as much as I liked Darby Allin versus CM Punk, there wasn't a whole lot to get invested in with that one.
No.
And this one already has more going for it than Darby Allin did. Like, the
Oh, yeah.
mutual respect thing can get you somewhere. And again, like, I love that match in the end, but there wasn't a whole lot getting me hooked to want to watch that match.
No. MJF, if they weren't going to continue the Kingston stuff, which if they did, they were probably going to continue it straight into a CM Punk heel turn. So for maybe what they where they want to go, it's for the best. But MJF is absolutely the right person to be feuding with CM Punk at this point. And having MJF call out CM Punk for the his happy-go-lucky, I'm just happy to be here demeanor. He's brought with him in the AEW. You know, the complete antithesis of what what people really want from CM Punk, you know. that part's good, and granted, it's becoming a go-to crush line to tell someone, you've turned into what you despised. Seeing as we saw it twice in a week, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I would like to see, and I do think that helps, because, like, even if you just compare CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in AEW, like, presentation-wise, like, I am definitely way more engaged on Daniel Bryan already than...
You mean Bryan Danielson?
Oh, Bryan Danielson.
Okay, Jim Ross.
But, you know, his run, like, you definitely understand why he's wrestling for a championship already.
Yeah, he has come in with a purpose from the start. You know, his first match was against Kenny Omega. Everything he's done was with the purpose of getting himself in for a title shot, even bringing up how, you know, he expected it to be Omega and was, you know, surprised it was, you know, backhanded compliment to Hangman Page about him winning the title.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Yeah, and once again, what they're doing with Hangman and Danielson is fantastic. But, you know, it's good. And Danielson's journey in AEW has been pretty much, you know, building up to him going for the title the whole time, whereas Punk, and it's probably smart in the long run to keep him out of the title picture for now.
Oh.
But they also were underutilizing CM Punk's strengths. And just putting him in matches for the sake of having matches. To the point where, you know what? It's no longer a novelty just to watch CM Punk wrestle. Now he needs to sink his teeth into something. And he had it with Kingston, but they cut that off quickly after one match. But this is exactly where CM Punk needs to be if he's not in title contention.
Well, and you talk about them not playing to his strengths, because he has been doing more CM Punk, been doing these kind of dream matchy situations, he hasn't really cut a promo. You know, no, like, he cut the comeback promo, but that was really his only promo that I can think of that he really had some material to work with. And that was basically because he was gone. Like, he didn't really have anyone necessarily to sink his teeth into. So, yeah, MJF should, well, and did already give him a nice target to get one of his better parts of his persona out, which is his talking.
Yeah.
And, MJF, I feel like they do a really good job with him, and they have him not wrestle that much.
No.
And there's a lot
That's not his strength.
Yeah, so there should be a lot more back and forth between now and whenever they wrestle.
Yeah.
Because they haven't, they didn't pick any dates yet, and there isn't, I don't feel like they have much on the horizon here.
Well, they've got some,
TV special or anything coming up?
Yeah, in January.
Oh, okay.
Battle of the Belts from Charlotte, North Carolina. Is Jeremy attending?
we'll find out on tomorrow's recording if that's the case.
Stay tuned, people.
I know he was not exactly thrilled with getting into Bojangles Arena last time. So we will see if that dissuades him from going back. But yeah, and that's bad. They were just advertising that. That is kind of funny. That Dynamite, well, since it was almost a week ago, it seems like forever ago.
Yeah, but they're also promoting the show on, I believe, the 15th as a bigger show. they didn't even get the Winter is Coming name that they gave the show last year where Omega beat Moxley. They're in some pretty big buildings coming up. They're in Long Island week after this coming Wednesday, which is MJF's hometown. They've got Greensboro, North Carolina at the Greensboro Coliseum, a legendary wrestling building. That's, I think, the week after Winter is Coming. Daly's Place obviously isn't a very big building to close out the year. And yes, I remember AEW's entire schedule somehow.
Fair enough. Hey, it is what it is. there are some options, I guess, for them to slot the CM Punk MJF match in, which will, again, if they're all in that time frame, is going to give us plenty of promo material. And, again, using CM Punk to his strength, which is his as much as I like him in ring, he doesn't need to be there all the time.
No, and that's a lesson that they may need to learn. But then again, you've got these paying audiences that they expect Punk on every show. They expect Punk on the show that's in their town. They expect Danielson. They should, which, is why they probably should do more dark matches on their live shows, just so they don't have to put these people on TV every week.
Oh yeah, and the live crowd still gets a taste.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would make a great deal of sense. Because as much as I have liked Bryan Danielson's push to start with, at some point, to me, that's another one that it would make sense to back off. They've kind of had him beeline up to the championship. I would be okay if they backed off his schedule moving forward, he's a guy that doesn't really need to prove himself, but they've done a great job of really doing a character pivot with him.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something that I do think has required as much TV time as he's gotten. Because I'm not sure that CM Punk has really changed at all.
Not particularly. And but of course, what they're doing with Dale Anderson, with having him run through the entire Dark Order, it does provide a good excuse for getting him in a match on TV every week, leading up to the title match.
Oh, and they're not necessarily as challenging match-wise as some of the other matches.
No.
Where they have built him up to this point. Because I'm trying to... whatever. I guess I don't care who he has left in the Dark Order. But he keeps on targeting people in hometowns, because didn't they say that there's two options for him coming up on Dynamite this week?
Yeah. I don't remember which one they're going with.
Oh, okay. So they have picked someone already.
I think so. Hold on.
So, I'm trying to think of what else, if there was anything else on AEW. Oh, man. Poor Austin Gunn was one thing on Dynamite that evidently Jeremy waited until today to actually watch Dynamite. And he reminded me of how horrifically Austin Gunn got run into by Darby Allin this past week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's Allen Angels.
Oh, okay. Who's in
the Danielson match? 23, number 23.
Holy cow!
No, wait. He's five. He's 23 years old. I think he's trying to say on his Twitter. Okay, there we go.
Oh,
five. That makes more sense. I don't have. But then again, Anna Jay is supposed to be 99, so they're definitely not going in order with the numbers of the Dark Order.
But anyway,
one Austin Gunn certainly got waylaid by Darby Allin. I would not think that skinny Darby Allin could get that much of a force behind a shoulder tackle, but he certainly looked like it.
Yeah, he really got a running start, and I do think that it helped that Austin Gunn was still on the ramp, and Darby Allin kind of had the high ground a little bit. I mean, I know it's only like a couple inches, but I do think that helped make things look a little bit worse than they may have been, just because it's kind of easy to fall backwards on an angled ramp.
Yeah.
But yeah, that did that looked pretty crazy. I found it a little bit strange that Dante Martin signed with Team Taz, because okie dokie, Team Taz hasn't really done anything, so I don't completely get it. Thunder Rosa, really enjoy her. Glad that she seems to be headed for the TBS championship here.
Yeah, no, I think that, yes, Thunder Rosa getting that win over Jamie Hayter was a good win for her. Keeps her in Britt Baker's universe. Yeah, that was all really well done.
Yeah. Yeah, Danielson and Cabana. Oh, yeah, we just kind of had that crazy main event there. I guess that was the six-man main event? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, 8-man main event. Yeah, that kind of felt like, hey, we know this is a holiday show. We know that people might not be watching. We're just going to throw this shit together.
Yeah.
And they're right. I don't know why I was watching, but I was. anything from SmackDown that stood out to you, since that's a show that we have not touched on yet?
Well, SmackDown was the story of SmackDown was pretty much the story of roving reporter Kayla Braxton. She was challenged to get the scoop, and she got the scoop.
Yes, Kayla Braxton, I believe we talked about her last week about how good the interaction with her and Paul Heyman has been, and this week was not any different. I enjoyed their little talk backstage, and then I'm trying to remember, she was in the ring interviewing someone, was she not, when she officially announced that the suspension for Brock Lesnar was lifted?
Yeah, she completely big-timed Sami Zayn in his Battle Royal win.
Oh! Yes, they do love to big-time Sami Zayn so he can continue to be a martyr in his own universe.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was kind of the big story of SmackDown there. Was Kayla in the Bloodline in a lot of regards. And, yeah, no suspension has ever lasted forever. We had kind of been talking about how there weren't a lot of good options for Roman Reigns right now on the SmackDown roster, unless you had...
That SmackDown roster is just a disaster. If you're not going to push Drew right away, and then that Battle Royal, Wow, was that a geek battle royal? Holy crap. The weakness of the SmackDown roster was just exposed for all to see there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did agree with when Roman Reigns acted incredulous about a battle royal determining who his next opponent would be. That was pretty hilarious. Yeah, we've got a pretty throwaway winner with that too. After Sami Zayn is the winner, even though Brock Lesnar is coming back now. Like,
yeah,
I could have seen the painting on the wall for Sami even without Brock Lesnar coming at back. But
yeah, but I don't see Brock getting being the day one challenger. That just does not feel Brock worthy. But he's coming back to do at least two episodes of SmackDown here, so I don't. It'll be interesting to see how they work this, how they move forward with Sami Zayn, or if they don't, or, you know, does Jeff Hardy, getting screwed in the Battle Royal, event, does he get another chance at it? Because, yeah, Jeff was certainly the audience favorite to win that Battle Royal by a long shot.
That's another one where the WWE management does not seem to have been behind Jeff Hardy recently. I don't think things have been quite as bad as far as losing streak goes here recently. But yeah, it's someone that seems like he has a lot left in the tank, but they haven't really used him for a whole lot of anything consequential here. Because what? He's been with the main roster now. Did Matt sign over a year ago with AEW?
Yeah.
So yeah, like, he's had a year's worth of time and nothing seems to have clicked for her, Jeff on the main roster. Like, he's been featured in some stuff, especially about being an alcoholic when he was feuding with Sheamus and things of that nature. But yeah, he's definitely a high-profile guy that, you could see him being more fodder for Roman Reigns along the way. Like, he's at least good enough to do that, but he would also need to be at least built back up a little bit to be put into that position.
Well, I mean, they've had people just win one battle royal or one match before, and just, presto, you're the number one contender. It wouldn't surprise me if Jeff gets back in this situation and we see a second triple threat match at day one, because I just don't think they're going to waste Brock on day one. Oh. This New Year's Day pay-per-view, I don't even know who's going to watch it. I assume by New Year's night I'll be settled in front of the TV to watch wrestling, but that's me. I don't really care about college football or anything of the sort, so.
Well, and there aren't that many night college football games. New Year's Day. Like, there might be one or something like that. Because I feel like I'm not sure when the national championship semifinal games are. Because I feel like recently they've been on New Year's Eve.
I believe they are, or they're the... Hold on.
Which would open up some. I guess my point was that Sunday evening is probably. New Year's Day is Saturday also, is it not? Yes. Oh, but their pay per view is on that Saturday.
Yes, it is.
It's called Day One, you idiot, not Day Two. Oh, man. So, I haven't had enough beer, I guess, at this point.
No, I mean, they're both of those games are going to be on the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl are both going to be on the 31st. It's been a long time since the first was the big day
in college football. Yeah. So I do know that there's some other stuff that typically goes on that day, on New Year's Day. But yeah, that big college night game really hasn't been there recently. There might be one. The Rose Bowl might be that night. But it's lost. I feel like it's lost some of its luster since it's not one of the big matchups for the most part anymore. So yeah, I'm more than welcome to probably be watching some wrestling at that time of the evening myself.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl would be on at 5 p.m. and the Sugar Bowl would be on at 8:45 p.m.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, we'll see, but I also don't. Yeah, I guess we'll see who's in those games to determine whether I'll be watching day one or not. But I also have Sunday to watch the thing if I need to. Also, so it's also it's going to be easy for it not to be a priority. Yeah, should things arise that way,
right?
Anything else in this week in wrestling worth covering before we mosey on out of here?
I think we can mosey on out.
Okie dokie. Still trying to get rid of the summer beers. Pivot Brewing from Lexington, Kentucky. Their 2 to Mango Hard Cider. It is a apple cider that has a nice touch of mango in it, and it is enjoyably light and a nice beer to have during this podcast. So that is the bell time beer of the show. If you happen to be down in Kentucky, swing by this brewery. I believe they are half cidery, half brewery. So this one should be an option for you should you go down there. And that is a suggestion from Matt DeFrango11. My partner in crime was at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of places for podcasts, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.